Best show.
Hey, is this me?
Hello. Hi.
Hey, is this me?
It is, yes.
I got something for the topic. Am I the first to chime in?
You are. You're the first to participate in the topic.
Pretty exciting. All right, here's the thing. If I'm fully into something or someone as an artist, I don't ever fully disengage, but it comes pretty close. And I'll give you a couple examples. Is that okay?
Yeah, because we're talking about the idea of the topic is like, yeah, I'm out. When you finally gotta get out. So,
right,
so
right.
Well, you said you can't completely disengage, but you, I'll let you explain it, Carla.
Yeah. All right. So here's an example. I love Albert Brooks. I'd put those first three movies against anything in comedy. To me, they're the holy trinity of comedy. And I've been first in line for everything he's done since. Defending Your Life, loved it. Mother, The Scout, The Muse, Looking for Comedy in the Muslim World. Had some moments, but, you know, I think you know what I'm getting at. I'll still see what he does next. I mean, it's not like he's ever really wronged me personally. It's not like he's someone who I don't know, promised they were going to work with me on a big project one day and then won't take my calls the next day. You know, it's nothing like that. But, and also in terms of music.
Yeah.
Love that band from Australia, The Church. Remember them?
Sure.
They still make records. I see them live when I can. But I kind of stopped buying those records. They're still pretty good, but the last few albums have only featured two of the original guys, Steve and Peter, and sadly, Peter just announced he's leaving the band for good, so only Steve's left, who's great, but it's not the same thing, and I'll still check out what they're doing. It's not like I have a grudge against them, you know, I mean, it's not like they're the kind of fair weather friends who act all excited to see you to your face one minute and then act like they don't know you the next. You know, it's nothing like that.
Yeah, you're saying some things that say, I'm picking up on, you keep mentioning like fair weather friends and look, when he leaves, when, what's the other guy, Pete?
Yeah.
From the church?
Peter,
so,
yeah.
Is there any chance that he'll just call it, like, Steve's Church?
No, I think the brand is just too, it's, you know, I'm sure he owns the name, so he's within his rights to do it.
Mm-hmm. You know? Sure.
And he's the voice of it, you know, and like I said, it's not like he's like a turncoat or just like a bad person.
Oh, yeah. You know, hey, can I just say, I don't believe I caught your name.
I didn't tell you. It's Jerry.
This isn't Jerry Watkins, is it?
Yes, Tom. Yes, it is.
Okay. Great. Well, I guess I should say for people who don't know, what's up? I wrote a script called Grown Ups 3, which got a lot of attention or buzz or whatever you want to call it. And I got some really good meetings with studios off of that script. And as a result, me and my manager ended up, Rupert and I were fielding a lot of offers from some legit places, some major studios, and you know, there was a deal that was going to happen, it looked like, with New West Lionsgate. And, you know, which is par for the course in show business, is that the deal fell through.
You know, it's tough because I really thought you and Rupert were good to go with us here at New West Lionsgate. And, by the way, I do want to apologize for something. I want to apologize for not having a wheelchair ramp. If I'd known that Rupert was 94, I'd have suggested meeting somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. He sounds so much younger when he's screaming at you on the phone. I'm sure you you've experienced that.
Oh, yeah. No, he's got this kind of this excitement and this vigor for yelling at people, I think, is what it comes down to.
That's the thing with him. It's like you're getting yelled at, but at the same time, like there's not a real negative vibe to him. I've never really seen anything like it before.
Sometimes I'll be with if we ran out to eat or something, we'd be at a place mm-hmm. and be like, he'd be like, "Oh, I'm not sure what I'm gonna order," like really struggling. I'd be like, "I guess right. I'll get soup," or, you know, and then suddenly if he realizes he's like. They didn't give me any crackers. Like, suddenly he's...
super mad, yeah, yeah.
He's super young. He sounds super alive.
Yeah, he's passionate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I was impressed by how passionately he was whipping you. It's weird that I've never seen someone who's getting pushed whip the person from in front. He had this amazing whip technique.
He's got this his wrist is very
supple.
I was going to say he's got such a supple wrist.
He really does.
He really.
And they're so
and people
thin.
Admire
they're
so it. Thin.
They do. People were people after you guys left, people at the office were saying, "Oh my God, I want to get whipping lessons from that old man."
Yeah. He's a bullwhip wizard.
I hope there's not a cure.
Yeah, no, he really. I mean, people will see him do his thing and they'll be like, "How do you think he does it?" And then somebody else will be like, I don't know. And then the third person will be like, "What makes him so good?"
I'm going to come straight and say, "I don't know what the next line is."
Uh huh. Doesn't matter. Okay. We're talking about Rupert right now, who is still, look, Jerry, you know, it's show business. It happens. You know, the deal fell through. It's like, you know how things work in this line of work, Jerry. Things change and things happen. You know,
I do, but it just seemed like such a done deal. I had everyone except Sandler on board, and I was seriously just a couple moves away from getting him to commit. It's just such a disappointment. I hope you can understand that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tom.
Yeah.
I need you to level with me, okay?
Okay.
Is this because of what you saw that night in Darren Ploppleton's rec room in 1984?
I don't want to make this what this is about, but you know, Jerry, yes, that it honestly, you know, I got to just say, I didn't think I could ever be in the same room with you and not be just constantly thinking about what I saw that night.
Great. I knew it.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, Jerry, let me just say for people listening who don't know, Jerry and I, we both went to Newbridge High School together, and Jerry was one of the only kids who actually had a wacky package collection that rivaled mine, which was pretty impressive that you were so into it. Jerry, you moved away a month or so before graduation, I never saw or heard from you again. And I honestly didn't even know you were in the entertainment business until I walked into that conference room at New West Lionsgate last week.
Well, you know, that's what makes this whole thing so weird for me. You acted so glad to see me. You seemed genuinely happy to reconnect with me after all these years.
Jerry, though, you know what it is. I was doing the old Hollywood boop-a-doop, you know, the old Burbank shake and fake.
Oh, my God. So you weren't, in your own words, totally stoked, jazzed, and primed to work with us on Grown Ups 3. Is that correct?
That's fair.
I'll tell you, man, I could see the change in your face and your level of enthusiasm dip to zero the moment you realized it was Jerry from that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, right? Look, I mean, look, I really don't want to get into this on the air. It's not what this show is about, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, look, maybe we should just talk about we should just talk about that night then.
Maybe we should. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'll talk about it. If you want to talk, like, yeah.
Fair enough. I'll tell you my version of it.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, I'll set the stage for your listeners. It was May of 1984, not too long before we graduate and go to the community colleges of our dreams. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, think about that time. The world was ours for the taking. It's just like, you know, when you're that age and everything seems possible, it's just such a good time. And I'll tell you, I was a shy guy all throughout school, but I started to really blossom in that final year of high school. I was going on dates. I was the sub-vice captain of the Newbridge High Tetherball Terrorists. I'll tell you, I still think it's weird that they call themselves that.
Yes.
You know, it's an odd choice to begin with, and then to keep it, you know, this late in the game. It's a weird call. Anyway, I'd also started getting into music, and I was buying records for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I recall you were a big fan of Synchronicity by the Police.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. Yeah, but you know, anyway, I was so excited to be invited to Darren's party, and I saw that night, honestly, as my true entrance to the Cool Guys Club. I mean, to me, you and Darren were like Potsy and Ralph Mouth.
Potsy and Ralph, why not Fonzie?
Fonzie, oh my God, no, are you kidding me? Get real. No, so anyway, so I was just so excited about that party, and when I got there, you guys were playing Junior Twister and blasting all that cool music you like Blamage, Joe Boxers, ABC, Haircut 100, The Fix. And I'll tell you, I just thought I'd arrived when I walked in that door. But on the way there, and I was, you know, I drank two or three Schaefer's on my bike, and by the time I got there, I was, you know, I had to pee really bad, you know, and I can't pee outside. It's just this weird thing I've got. I can't do it. Anyway, so I ran downstairs to the bathroom, but I forgot the door wasn't shut. It was wide open, and that's when you saw what you saw.
Yeah, well, Jerry, yes, it is.
You know what? I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this. Why don't you just tell the listeners what you saw that night that was so unforgivable that you're willing to take food off my family's dinner table?
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, look, I mean, I went in. I saw you were shirtless, semi-pantsless, I guess is how you'd say it. You were pointing at yourself in the mirror, and you had this really kind of weird, troubled and troubling, I guess, let's just say a weird look on your face. And you're singing to yourself so loudly, to the tune of the Police's Synchronicity. It was like, with one kiss, with one hug, you will know Jerry-icity. And as you're doing it, you were just like really, I guess, caressing yourself is the way to describe it.
There you have it, folks. The world's most unforgivable crime. And if you're keeping score at home, the tally for worst humans ever to have existed, coming in first, we have Hitler. Second, we have Pol Pot. Third, we have Jerry Watkins. And then fourth, we have Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Jerry, come on. You know that's not the end of the story. And, I mean, it's weird because what you did next wasn't, like, technically dirty. It's just, like, so truly disturbing. It's the only way I can you know, I mean, I honestly didn't think they could, that I really did not think they could even do that until, you know, I saw it with my own eyes. I thought it was physically, you know, or even like morally impossible for them to even be in that position.
Look, I know it's a weird context for them to be seen in that way the first time you see them like that. And I can understand how you found it shocking. But, you know, in some of the more erotically advanced societies, doing that with them for an extended amount of time, like I was doing, it's seen as a rite of passage.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look, even though I never told anybody about what I saw that night, it is definitely, it is an image that's burned into my mind. And, you know, as I said, I'm sorry, but it's just like I would not be able to. I'm trying to think how to say this. I could not unsee. I would not be able to see you every day and not think about what I saw you do with them. Does that make sense?
Well, yes and no, but it just reconfirms that this is all as bad or worse than I thought it was. And I'll tell you, I guess I'm just lucky my dad was offered that job with Union Carbide 2 days after that happened, or we wouldn't have moved, and I'd be the butt of all your jokes and all your good time friends' jokes, you know? So I guess it worked out good for me on some level.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait. So is that why you moved away? Because there were all these rumors why you left.
Really?
And
like,
yeah.
Like what?
Well, look, we don't need to get into that.
No, tell me.
You sure?
Yes, I want to know. I'm an adult.
Okay, all right, Jerry. Well, some people thought you were the Quint City Quacker. You know, there was a guy who'd break into people's houses in the middle of the night and make duck sounds while doing push-ups.
People thought that was me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and other people said that Sylvester Stallone cast you as his son in that coming-of-age tetherball movie that he was directing that never even came out, which, what was that called? Oh, it was called Whacking It.
Whacking It,
yeah.
You know, I read the script for Whacking It, and it wasn't that bad. And, you know, I know I've heard you do these impressions. What if, you know, just to take a little side track here, what if I played the son whose name in that was Ricky, and you play Stallone as the father, okay? And mm-hmm. One of the scenes, if I remember it, was Ricky comes home from school, and where he's just been told by Coach Dalrymple that he's not big enough to be on the tetherball team. So, all right, so let's start.
What do I have a name? Did he have a name, Stallone's character?
Yeah, Python.
Python.
That was his given name. Yeah,
Python. Okay.
Python McNamara.
Okay, so I'm Python McNamara.
Yeah.
And you're my son Ricky.
Yeah. Dad, Coach Dalrymple said I'm too small to play on the team.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Hey, well, you know, you gotta get your size. It's the tetherballs. That's a
terrible Stallone. I don't know who.
No, I thought he was great. Hey, I thought it was him for a second.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it's a tetherball. We gotta get you. It's about size, you know, and we could get you, but you might not have the size right now, Ricky, but you got one thing that those bigger kids are never going to have.
What's that, Dad?
You got heart. And if you're going to play tetherball, you can go as, you can be 10 feet tall as long as you got heart. You got to believe in yourself, Ricky.
No, this is like right out of the script. Did you read it? You didn't write it, did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't read that. I didn't recently reread the script for the unreleased Stallone tetherball movie, Whacking It.
God, you're so good. I want so badly for you to bring Grown Ups 3 to me. Please?
Mm-hmm. You know, look, I mean, I got to just say, like, personally, with all this stuff, looking back, I thought you moved because you were just embarrassed by, like, what you did back then.
No, I was a little embarrassed, but, you know, I'm a free spirit. And, you know, Tom, please don't blow this for me. I've finally gotten out of the third-tier executive ghetto and made my way into the big leagues, and now you're just pulling it all away. It's very unfair to me.
Well, what do you mean when you say executive ghetto? What does that mean?
Oh boy. Well, for most of the 2000s, I was an exec at several, let's be honest, C-grade studios.
Okay.
I was at Old Line, Werner Brothers, Warner Uncles. I don't know how they get away with having that name. It's really ballsy. Universe Studios. Where else? Sunny Pictures. Flying Horse with Wings Productions. 22nd Century Fox. I was at Columbian Pictures for a little bit. For a while there, I was in the features department at Shout After Dark, where I helmed all of those all the films in their Rear Widow franchise.
Please tell me you just mispronounced the word window, Jerry.
No, Tom, I sure didn't. I know. I was also in charge of Jerry and the Pacemakers, that PG-25 parody of That Thing You Do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell you, I worked day and night to get Tom Hanks to play the manager. But when he wouldn't, I worked my magic, and I got something even better.
What was that?
Eddie Trunk.
Better than Tom Hanks?
Yeah, oh, yeah. 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 Oh,
please tell me more about this.
Well, he was good. He showed up like I hoped he would. You know, he had his cargo shorts on and his UFO T-shirt, and he was good, but he kept wanting the on-set writer Jake Fugelmest to work into the script these new lines about how so many bands today play to tracks, lines about him signing and subsequently texting with Ace Frehley every day, and how the new UFO album might be their best since Strangers in the Night. And mind you, this was all supposed to take place in a movie that's taking place in 1966. So there were a few hiccups with him.
Well, those are a couple discrepancies for him to say he's regularly texting with the guitarist who formerly from Kiss.
Who haven't formed yet.
What's that?
Who haven't even formed yet.
No, they had not formed yet. iPhones had not been invented.
Well, we could argue about that.
Okay.
Were they?
What's that?
I think they were around. I think I've seen pictures of this.
In 66?
I think so.
They were not around. Cell phones were not around in 1966, Jerry.
Okay, well, we can agree to disagree on that. I'm sure a lot of your listeners will back me up.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure I'm going to be wrong on this one. But
I don't. Could be.
I don't know. I'm weird like that. I'll just dig in on a thing that I'll be wrong about.
That's right.
Like a cell phone being around in 1966.
Mm-hmm. It's like when you said in the cafeteria that day that macaroni and cheese that they were serving was the best you'd ever had, and it was really bad, but for some reason you got it in your head that you had to just buckle down and double down on this. And I remember you just, kids just coming up for the entire 45 minutes of lunch period and just piling their macaroni and cheese on your plate, and you just devoured it, even though you hate, I think you secretly hated every bite. Am I right?
Yeah, you know, I was being a little, what would be the right word for how I was being? Proud, probably.
That's fair to say?
I let pride get in the way.
Sounds like a U2 song, doesn't it?
A U2, yeah. What would it be called? Pride eating that mac and cheese. Right?
I think that was the working title, but I think
mac and cheese. It'd be just like, remember when he was like, all I got is this red guitar?
I do, yeah. Well, he's a bluesman.
He is a bluesman. And I think I'm glad he's finally being appreciated for being a bluesman. Because he had that red guitar, and he had three chords, and he had the truth.
He did.
And all I got is this red guitar, three chords, and the truth. Then remember what he said next? He was like, all I got is this red guitar. They said, the rest is up to you.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I'm stealing it back from Charles Manson, because apparently Charles Manson owned that guitar first.
I know that when he said they were taking Helter Skelter back, the Manson started doing U2 songs in jail.
Is that right? I love to hear tapes. Do you have tapes? Have you got tapes?
I have. He actually did pop a full front-to-back cover of the album Pop.
Oh, my God. Is Lemon on that?
Yes. The Edges hit song.
I'd love to hear him do Lemon. That'd be great.
Was it Numb? What was that song called? Remember when the Edge was just like...
I only know Lemon.
I just love all the U2 stuff.
Yeah.
I really do. This Manson stuff is pretty good, though, of him doing all the U2 stuff as like him saying he was taking their catalog back. And then finally, they actually went and met with him in jail, and they both reached a truce.
They didn't jam, though. Did they give tapes? Give tapes?
They did jam. They did jam tape? At the prison.
Oh, man. I'd love to hear that.
Do you know what song they did?
I'm going to guess that B-side. What's it called? Trash Trampoline and the Party Girl? Has to be that, right?
No, you're never going to guess what they did. You're never going to guess. What year was it?
Yeah.
What year is the stuff from? It was somebody else's music entirely.
Ooh, okay. Was it wasn't like a Sonic Youth song, was it? Was it Non-Metal Dude Wearing Metal Tee?
No, it was a band from the 60s who changed their name in the 70s.
Oh, it's got to be Jefferson something, right?
Yeah, it was Jefferson Starship. They were jamming on different songs from Earth, the album Earth.
What's on Earth? I don't know that record.
What's on? Oh, Skateboard, Runaway, All Night Long, Count on Me, Take Your Time, Fire.
Those sound like the most generic titles I've ever heard.
Crazy Feeling.
I got a Love crazy too good. Feeling in this prison cell.
No, they jammed on that stuff. It turns out Manson and the guys from U2 are both fans of this late 70s Jefferson Starship album that
it's
has
so how
literally the most generic song titles imaginable.
Hmm. Well, I for one want to hear it. I really do.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, taking up where we left off, I know we had quite a tangent we went on that was very entertaining, for me at least.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for me also.
Oh, yeah. Well, I also worked at that weird children's network, Bratz. Have you ever seen any of that stuff?
I've seen stuff on Bratz, and, you know, it's funny because I'm never sure if those shows are pro-child or anti-child. Right? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I couldn't tell either. You know, I wasn't there long, but I did work on shows like Intimidation Station, The Dumb Kid Who Couldn't Do Anything Right, and this weird show called Missy and Mrs. and Mr. Miscellaneous Are Missing in Mississippi. It was like a kid crime show. Very odd. And I was actually
What's the name of that show?
It was called Missy, M-I-S-S-Y.
Uh-huh.
And Mrs. and Mr. Miscellaneous Are Missing in Mississippi.
Wow. That's a mouthful.
Quite a title, right? And but I think of all the stuff I did, I was most proud of that because I stuck an F-bomb in there. It got in the script. A kid said the line, and it made it through everything, and it aired.
And that's pretty what you're proud of.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, right?
Sure. That's pretty cool. You slipped a curse into children's programming.
Yeah. It was the long F word, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, I'm listening, Jerry.
Well, I was going to say, I've been at New West Lionsgate for a couple years now, but I don't have anything to show for it. It's very frustrating. Mm-hmm. And I was banking everything on this Grown Ups 3 thing. And truthfully, I was hoping it was going to rehab my image here in Silver Lake.
Mm-hmm. Why? What happened in Silver Lake?
Well, I'm sure you saw that video that was making the rounds about a month ago. These neighborhood kids were playing basketball in the street, and then some jerk calls the cops on them for being a nuisance. And mm-hmm. this older cop shows up, and he ends up not only shooting hoops with these kids, but he gets his old college buddy Magic Johnson to come down and shoot hoops too. And Magic ends up giving each kid $100 if they promise to get A's. It's quite a story.
I did see that, and it's a great story. But what I'm not clear on is how this affects your reputation.
I was the guy who called the cops on them. Why?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know what was going on. I was feeling insecure that day. I was sad. I don't like people having fun if I'm not in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
So I just saw that and I thought, well, that's my, I got to shut this down if I want to feel good about my day.
Sure. You needed no one else to be enjoying themselves.
Pretty much. That's pretty much what it is. Yeah.
For you to even have a shot at having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You're definitely not going to have a good time if someone's having fun.
But you
don't even know whether you will have a good time if they stop. But that's where the opportunity for you to have a good time starts.
Exactly, and I don't really put a ton of thought into it. I've gone into a Chuck E. Cheese at least 3 times. And just seemed in a bad mood, and I saw kids having a party, and I kicked the pizza off the table. I kicked it.
Uh-huh.
Why?
And did it put you in a good mood?
For about 18 seconds, and then everyone, once they picked their jaws up off the floor, they were furious. Kids, parents, employees, they chased me for, I'm not lying, 3 miles.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. You know what, Tom?
What? What's that, Jerry?
It feels really good to have unburdened myself of a few of these things that I've been keeping secret.
Okay.
Like the Chuck E. Cheese thing and the, you know, some other things. So I feel kind of lighter. It's kind of nice. So I'd like to take it a step further, if I may.
Okay.
Tom, I was the Quint City Quacker.
Wait, you were the Quint City Quacker?
I was, yeah.
So you'd break into people's houses and quack while doing push-ups?
Yeah, yeah. That was me. And I'll keep going. I was also the Newbridge Rusty Hatchet Killer.
No.
Uh-huh, yeah. And as a matter of fact, remember that wonderful Kevin Costner film, Mr. Brooks?
Oh, yeah.
It's a great film, right?
It is, yeah.
Well, that story was based on me and my dad.
That movie, yes. I thought that was the most fictional thing I've ever seen in my life.
Right?
That's insane.
As Bad Religion said for the very first time it was ever said, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction.
Wow, those are some pretty true words.
Yes, and to this day, nobody knows I did those crimes or that my dad was the Tribridge Exsanguinator. I guess the old apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right?
Well, I guess not. I guess not.
Yep.
Yeah. It's funny how that works, huh?
It is. Oh, wait, what?
Hey, what is that? What's going on there?
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Jerry, what's up?
Oh, no. Oh.
What?
Yes. Somehow the police were already in my house. Oh, I'm getting cuffed. Oh. That's weird on its own, but I don't see why they felt the need to bring a siren inside. Weird call, right?
To have to be cranking a siren in your home? Yeah that's weird. Yeah.
Guys, not so tight. Oh, jeez. Oh. Well, you know, I'm glad we got to clear the air, you know, and it looks like I'm probably no longer employed nor employable for the next, I don't know, 475 years. So I will just bid you adieu, okay? And as our president said to the Prime Minister of India yesterday, namaste. And if I could ask one final favor of you, Tom.
What's that, Jerry?
Well, I'm going to ask them to put the best show on the radio in the cruiser on the way to the Butt Hut. So could you please play Love Plus One for me? I'd love for that to be the final thing I hear as a civilian. Please?
I'll see if I can get to it.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, you always were my best friend in high school.
Wow. I'm glad I could be there for
you. And I was your best friend.
Thanks for it's good to hear from everything with you, Jerry. I'm a little troubled by some of the news.
And I was your best friend, right?
Yeah, I'm sure we'll meet up. Look, you were a friend. You were definitely a friend.
Oh man.
What?
Namaste.
Namaste? Okay, well, I mean, I can try with... Hello? 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 Oh, he's gone.